from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Oh, I enjoy it a lot, you know, and sometimes that can be a little bit of a problem because I think it goes hand in hand with that patience thing like I talk about. But I love getting in there, you know, using my pads and being physical in there. I think that's what the game of football is about. So it's fun to, you know, get in there and move around a little bit for sure.
That's Jalen Petrie, pride and joy of Stafford, Texas, Stafford High School. Pride and joy them Baylor Bears, baby. Stand up one time. Jalen Petrie is, look, he's all eyes are on Jalen Petrie this year. We don't need to rehash what went on last year, but in 2022 had a great year, very promising year. Last year ended up on the sideline way too often in critical moments. Couldn't fit really in D'Amico's first year, couldn't find a spot for him. This year, I think it probably started as a little bit of a project, obviously an educated decision with D'Amico's film watch and his eye for talent. But playing Jalen Petrie at the nickel position is an attempt, or was an attempt, to find where he can excel and where he can play to his strengths in D'Amico Ryan's defense. And Ron, I'm going to tell you, my eyes have been glued to Jalen Petrie from jump, from the first moment. We didn't even realize it, but the first moment we realized, hey, Jalen Petrie's playing nickel defender
every damn day
in training camp, right? And so then it became a thing, okay, let's watch this guy. Let's ask D'Amico about it. And the question from jump has always been, can he cover well enough? Because a nickel defender, you're forced into a coverage situations more than a Lovie Smith safety, that's for damn sure. And so it was going to be a little bit different of a role for him. And Ron, the reason that I bring up the pride of Stafford, Texas, Jalen Petrie, the reason I bring him up, Ron, is because today, while I didn't have a bird's eye view per se, I did stand up on the pole and I didn't swing around and dance, Tyler. I stood up on the pole.
Nice.
Held
you
on.
Knew, I mean, you knew he was coming.
Oh, I knew. He went from his screen over there to the mic. I knew what he's fixing.
There are like 18 buzzwords that Tyler had that he hears.
Standing on a pole.
Pull him out of it. Yep.
But I could get a little bit of a better view than most. And Jalen Petrie, in about a 30-minute span, I watch him defend Tank Dell on an out route. To be completely transparent, there was a flag thrown on the play, but either it was a very minimal tug on the jersey where I couldn't see it, or I was just completely blocked. But there, it appeared that he was in his hip pocket. A couple of plays later, a couple minutes later, on the other side of the field, he is in the hip pocket of Stephon Diggs on a little crossing route over the middle. Stephon Diggs has been working the middle of the field a lot at practice, and Jalen Petrie somehow matched up on him now. It was a little bit of an underthrow by the quarterback. Don't remember who was quarterbacking, but Jalen Petrie was right there on top of it to make sure that it was an incomplete pass. And then they flip around. They're going the other direction, and somehow he gets tied up with Nico Collins on what appeared with no deep help, and it was a fade route. It looked like maybe a slot fade or a cut split fade, and he's right in his hip pocket, forced the throw to be far, you know, outside, and it looked from my angle that the throw was out of bounds. But the point being, Jalen Petrie is in the hip pocket of the three best receivers for the Houston Texans, all in three plays, all within about 30 minutes of each other. It appears, Ron, that Jalen Petrie is having a really good camp, and it appeared today, again, from a distance, I'm watching him break up passes, be involved in pass breakups, and then I'm watching him very, very confidently, with a lot of swagger, play the nickel position. And it looks like it's all coming to a head in a beautiful way at the right time for Jalen Petrie.
And like you said, man, he just has to cover well enough.
Yes, doesn't have to be great, yeah.
And everything you described, especially who he was going up against, all three of those guys, no disrespect, this wasn't Robert Woods. You know, no disrespect, this wasn't John Metchie or Xavier Hutchinson, those guys. These were three guys that Bobby Slowick, if he were trying to game plan against the Texans defense, would try to get matched up on Jalen Petrie to see if he could make some hay there. So if he can just cover well enough, all of the other stuff, if he can be average in coverage, and then when you look at all of the other stuff he brings to the table, where he's well above average,
yes,
with his instincts, his ability to potentially make big game-changing plays around the line of scrimmage, how he reads and attacks in the run game, whatever, he can really be a game changer with this defense if he can just do what you just described, and that is beyond well enough.
I agree wholeheartedly. Here's D'Amico Ryans, the Texans head coach, on what he's seen from Jalen Petrie thus far in training camp.
Yeah, Jalen, I mean, first thing first is just he's so fun to work with. He's one of our smartest players on our team, right? He's able to handle a lot mentally and physically, a very gifted guy who's does a phenomenal job, whether it's in coverage, whether it's blitzing, playing in the box, playing back deep. Not many guys have the skill set that Jalen has, and he's a fun guy to work with. He's all about the team. He's a true leader for us on our team, and I'm always excited to work with Jalen because he's ready for more, like trying to see how much he can handle. He can handle a lot, and it helps our defense just with his versatility, his flexibility, and just his willingness, right, to do whatever it takes for the team to be successful. Like, that's how we want all of our guys.
Clearly, D'Amico Ryans is sold on Jalen Petrie, and we said this last year. I said this last year was the fact that he plays with such great instincts, D'Amico Ryans is going to find a place for him to help this team win ball games. He will be one of the starting 11 players on this defense any way you slice it. It sounds like D'Amico believes that based on what you just heard. Coming into this segment, you heard Jalen Petrie talking about really the physicality of playing defense and being aggressive and things of that nature. We've talked a lot about the question being, can he cover? And by the way, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm ready to say, hell yeah, this guy can cover. There's still a lot left to be seen, but he just happens to be getting better. We'll see. This schedule this year is not going to be forgiving as last year's schedule. Tavier Thomas was able to play nickel defender last year for about 8 weeks before somebody decided, hey, we're finna attack this cat right here at the nickel defender. You're not going to have that luxury this year. If Jalen Petrie can't cover, then this schedule this year, these guys are going to find him. These offensive coordinators are going to scheme. They're going to find him, and it's going to be a problem. So we will see if Jalen Petrie can cover. Here's what Jalen Petrie himself has to say about his game and about particularly where he needs to get better.
I know I always say this, and it can be a little repetitive, but my patience, like just slowing down and not being a rush in everything that I do and having a, you know, calmness about me, but also still having that, like, when I get there, like, I think that's the biggest thing. You know, I can always just get better at that and just continue to improve in that area.
You know, I was always pretty patient, Ron. I always had that when I got there.
I mean, it's very important to have that when you get there.
I mean, I just no matter what patience. I was doing, no matter what I was doing, man,
I've always with patient.
Do you?
Sometimes.
Yeah. What about the when you get there?
I'm doing that too.
Just you struggle with that too?
No, yeah. I don't struggle with that.
You got to pack a punch.
I struggle with building, building and telling a good story to get there.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to get there.
He's always pretty smooth with it, man. But Jalen Petrie, again, had a really good day. He's in the hip pocket of the wide receivers all day long. We've seen the instincts. We've talked about the instincts that he plays with, second to none. And I'll be honest with you guys. Last year, I thought the tackling issues were blown out of proportion. I mean, that's one thing. After being in this business for a while, tackling and not tackling, like, that's, I mean, obviously it's something that we can all see when a guy misses a tackle or when a guy makes a tackle, right? But boy, that is something that, that a lot of times, in my opinion, just gets blown out of proportion. I think with him, it got blown out. Did he miss a couple of big tackles? Absolutely.
But I don't think that's what got him on the bench.
No, I don't either. No, I don't.
I don't think it was.
No, I don't think it was that either. I think it was the inability to play center field. You know, just average without taking too much risk and be in the right spot. Yeah, I don't think it was the but I think the tackling stuff was blown out of proportion last year. I think that'll be fine. In fact, I think he's a well above average tackler. That doesn't mean he's gonna miss Lamar Jackson in the backfield every now and then. He might miss Anthony Richardson in the backfield when he comes scot free on a pressure week one. But that doesn't mean he's a poor tackler. That just means that the better player at that point in time. One another guy today, Ron, that I thought really, really jumped off the screen, a guy that came back was Brevin Jordan. Brevin Jordan, look, I think he's got a unique skill set, and I do believe that Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud are looking forward to using that skill set to their advantage. I don't know how they fully commit to it because they've got so many other receivers and there's just not enough balls to go around. But Brevin Jordan was out there today, Ron, and it looked like, you remember last year, maybe it was early in camp, but we were out there watching. It just seemed like every damn play was designed to go to Brevin Jordan. It seemed like that was the case today. It was like, all right, Brevin's healthy. Let's get Brevin some work. And he made a couple of catches. You know, they missed him a couple of times. But Brevin Jordan, boy, he looks fast. He looks like he knows what he's doing. He looks like he's got great chemistry with C.J. Stroud, man. Brevin Jordan, while I don't think he's going to have a monster year because I just don't think there's enough balls to go around, I do think he's going to be a critical, critical component to the Texans winning a handful of ball games.
I'm really intrigued how they use him.
Yeah.
Like, is he a – because, as you said, with all of the weapons and all the places to go – is he a game-by-game, game-plan type of player that, all right, hey, we see a void in the middle of the field where they struggle with covering two tight end sets, so this is a game we're going to use Brevin? Or is there in some space every game, whether it's, you know, two or three targets, whatever, that there is something to get Brevin involved? Clearly, I think he's going to make the team. Clearly, I think they see something in him. I wonder how I'm really intrigued to see how much they feel they want to use it.
Yeah, you know what? I need to see the final roster. Like, I want to see how the roster is made up. And I, as I've said before, this is just a hill that I'm going to die on until they show me different. He's got to be a guy that can play fullback. He's got to be a guy because then you become an every game guy. To your point, if you're just going to be that second tight end, that really hybrid tight end, because you're not going to do what Cade Stover does. You're not going to do what Dalton Schultz does. Yep. Yeah, I mean, if you're not a tight end / H-back / fullback, then you're going to have to be a game plan guy, game to game, right? You may go three or four games where you're not even a feature in the game. Now, if you're playing, again, tight end, F, you know, the F receiver or the halfback receiver, like the split end, and the fullback, now they're finding ways to get you in every single game plan. So that could be potential. But Brevin Jordan had a good day. Was clearly a focal point of the offense. And Jalen Petrie, boy, I don't know what the big eye in the sky is saying, but Jalen Petrie from the sideline damn sure looked good. All right, let's get to this baseball boner, Tyler. Boner.
I'm always ready for that.
Probably should have left Julia Morales out of the tees because that did not come across right. The baseball boner clip of the day, the audio clip of the day, happens to be something that Julia Morales said. Something that she said. Tyler, relax. So, no disrespect. Probably should have left her name out of that. But this is Astros fans. This is what the hell I'm talking about right here. This is seven straight ALCSs. This is why, as long as you're not 10 to 12 games out of the division, as long as you're in the top competing for the division, as long as you're getting to the playoffs, this is why you always have a shot to make a run. This is why you've won been to seven straight ALCSs. It's why you're a World Series caliber baseball team.
Seven f***ing times.
That's right, JV. That's what I'm trying to say, baby. This is why. Here's Julia Morales on the broadcast Monday night.
He says,
They are so prepared here. I am quickly learning what it takes to be a winning organization with just how much video these guys are watching and how they talk to each other and how they help each other. He is just really impressed with everything that's going on right now in the Astros organization, which is great to hear. Boner
alert. Yeah, she's talking about that Kikuchi, y'all. That's All joking aside, is I think, and I've got personal, you know, firsthand experience when I was with the Dolphins and played in Europe and came back. Like I was blown away with the dysfunction that goes on at the NFL level. I'm sure it goes on at the Major League Baseball level. Hell, it goes on in corporate America. It's all over the world. Let's be honest. But for those of y'all that think like just every baseball team out there has really good chemistry and we're blowing up every year, we blow this out of proportion with the Astros clubhouse and how the chemistry and everybody has the access to the same equipment, the same technology. Everybody watches film, everybody this or that. Like, it's just not the case. And this is the most recent example of you say Kikuchi, I say Kikuchi. He comes here from the Blue Jays. And within 2 weeks is already commenting on, ultimately I'm paraphrasing, but okay, now I see what championship caliber baseball looks like in terms of how the guys address the game, study the game, communicate with each other during the game. It's as an Astros fan, it's refreshing to hear, boys. But
it was the thought of, can they get this season to a place where that matters?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, none of that matters when you're 10 games out. Yeah.
Can they get to – and I didn't think they could. They clearly have as they lead the division by a half a game over the Mariners after winning yesterday. But could they get that to a place where the intangibles mattered? And they have definitely done that, and which probably gives them a really good advantage over the Mariners. Looks like the Rangers just falling out the Mariners right now.
Thank you, Julia. No disrespect, sister. No disrespect.
Keep fighting, Jules. Does anyone call her Jules?
Oh, I'm sure.
Jules.
I haven't heard it.
How can you refuse?
Not on the broadcast, anyway.
How can you refuse? I mean, how can you not? Anybody named Julia or Julie, you got to get Jules.
You make a fool of you.
I don't know. I don't know that song.
Craig Robinson.
Oh, I thought you were about to spit.
You know I want to make a fool of you. Can I get some scrimps? Sorry.
I ain't got it.
I know it. Coming up. I don't want to question Captain Joe Espada, but he's done something today that I think is at least a conversation piece. I just don't understand it. Maybe you do. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
Yiner drives one. High and deep to left field. Forget about it. 5-0 Astros. The fast break offense continues here in Tampa Bay after a huge weekend in Beantown.
Turning this place into the Thunderdome.
Hey, bartender, triple up. That's a Yiner bomb.
All right, Jeff. All right.
Hey, bartender.
Triple up, huh? That's a Yiner bomb.
I like the Yiner bomb. I like. We've talked about this before. I like. There's some real play there with Yiner.
What was the one he did that was really really good?
With Yiner?
No, it was somebody else. Who was the guy
recently?
Last? Yeah. Who was it? It was like a margarita or.
Bartender, quick shot of Yiner.
Who was that?
I'm trying to think who's hit bombs.
I can't remember. Who was that, Tyler?
It's got to be Caratini.
Yeah, that's
exactly
it.
Just
a sip of the Caratini.
Yeah, a dirty one. No, yes. Remember he said a dirty Caratini.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, that was good. Now, that was strong. That was stronger right there. All right. Hey, remember, coming up, we're about 2 segments away, folks. 2 segments away right now. At 5 o'clock fire. 5 o'clock fire begins in that segment. In that segment, that is when you will have your chance to win 2 pair of tickets, front row seats in the bullpen, 2 pair of tickets to go see your Houston Texans take on the New York Giants Saturday. So make sure you are listening in two segments from now, 5 o'clock, 5 o'clock fire. In that segment, you will win, have a chance to win a pair of tickets. So make sure you're listening there. All right, speaking of Yiner right there, fellas. The lineup is out today. And Yiner is hitting fourth, and he's been hitting cleanup for quite some time now, especially since Kyle Tucker has been out. He has been the guy hitting cleanup, hitting fourth. That's not the surprise. The surprise is, for the first time this year, he is going to be making a start on August 13th. For the first time this year, he's going to be making a start at first base. He started 7 games there last year, but this will be the first time he starts at first base in a game tonight. And I don't know, boy. I look at this and I'm not crushing Joe on this. I'm not. It does feel like they are tinkering too much. It does feel like they are kind of messing around too much. And I just thought, to me, I'm not sure what has happened where they've said to themselves, Zach DiCenzo, what you've done so far is going to get you 2 straight days off for John Singleton and Yiner Diaz to play first base in back-to-back days, and we want you going to go get some fly balls in left field. It just seemed like they were starting to have some consistency in their lineup. DiCenzo was looking like he was getting a chance to play at first base. They were having the Yiner Diaz, Caratini, you know, when they had them both in to be the DH situation going on. This is interesting to me, the move of having him at first base and then potentially having DiCenzo catching fly balls like they may potentially have him in the outfield.
Ronnie, it just seems to me like this group just continues to tinker more and more and more and more as we get more experienced with them. This group being Joe Espada and Dana Brown. Like, and I've said it from jump. Like, I don't need to agree with everything that I see. I prefer to see and understand the method to the madness. And I can't at this point. I'm all for somebody text in 713-572-4610. If you got it and you understand this, let us know. I just don't quite get it. You've got a young guy that's been in the big leagues for about 2 hiccups, and he's swung the bat well, playing first base where he's comfortable. And now all of a sudden you want him taking fly balls in left field. Yiner Diaz. I thought you had a really good deal going with him and DH and the way that Caratini's catching and the way that you can kind of balance that all out with Yordan Alvarez in left field and his DH roles. It just seems like this group tinkers excessively, you know, and I don't know. That's really, for me, the thing that I just wish I could understand the method to the madness. Like, what do you gain? What do you benefit if DiCenzo can play left field?
Like, what? Adding to the list of guys that's already up.
You've got a bunch of guys. I mean, unless you just want to get rid of Chaz McCormick, which I could see. I mean, hitting around a 200 mark and just appears to be losing confidence with every at bat. I could see that. But I mean, what do you gain with Yiner Diaz playing first base? You know, what do you gain by a young guy that's been in the league for about a week, all of a sudden bouncing around and he's playing multiple positions instead of one? What do you gain by Yiner Diaz playing first base and the young dude that you brought up to add some pop at first base, and he's added that pop and now all of a sudden he's been out for 2 games? Like, I just want to understand it. I'm not sitting here calling anybody an idiot. It seems excessive to me. I didn't like the way Dusty and James Click, I didn't like, and Dana Brown, I didn't like the way that they did the outfielders, but it was confined to left field and center field. You know what I mean? Like, the Dubon is Verlander's fly ball guy. That's laughable, right? But Okay, so you got three or four guys that are rotating around out there. Like you said, once Brantley got back, hell, there was four guys rotating around out there. And if you count Yordan, there's five guys rotating around out there. Like, I didn't understand it, but it was confined to two spots where it was like, okay, those are your two spots to kind of find, get guys at bats and massage the lineup and see who can do what. Now it's right field, left field, catcher, DH, and first base that are just tinkered with constantly. Like, I don't know. I need some help understanding what the hell, what's the point? The method of madness.
Text line rolling through. Caratini is Kikuchi's catcher, and you don't want, I mean, he's been here two starts, and you don't want Yordan playing in left in Tampa. What do you understand? Why do you want Yordan playing in left in Tampa?
I don't get it. I don't get it. You don't want Yordan.
Yordan's played left in damn near every other park. Hell, I don't want him. I don't want to play him in left anywhere.
He's going
to
play left. He's going to play left in the damn playoffs. And you look at it. So you want Diaz playing first base for the first time?
Diaz playing. But you text that like that made some great.
No, I appreciate the pushback. I appreciate the input. I just disagree.
You don't want him playing it. No, but it's the dismount.
What
don't you understand?
Oh, yeah. Well, I didn't listen.
What don't you get?
I'm sorry, Ron. I should have let you finish. I didn't let you finish.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
What?
Well, that's and I look, it's a text. So I get in trouble all the time for my tone in text. So maybe, but the what do you not understand? Like those are the baseball guys. And that's the baseball thought that just drives me up a wall.
No, you make it make
like, what do you not sense. Understand? Like, I don't care how much baseball you've coached or played. Like, there's either a simple understanding to juggling five of the nine positions out there, or there's not. I have a hard time finding it.
Yeah, I just wonder what woke up and said, "Hey, man, let's give Zach a couple of days off." So I don't know what came about, and not just give him a couple of days off. Let's have him in left. Talk about y'all up here talking about Tampa's turf. Well, hell, maybe they should have let Kyle Tucker work out on it then.
Great point.
Maybe they should have sent him back to Houston to go and catch fly balls if that turf is so bad. All right. Coming up. A big, big player back in practice today was wondering if he would get in this week. This is huge coming up. Because the Texans have another game, they desperately need him in. We'll discuss.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
That's that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
I have to have the last word. I just wanted to express to those the turf thing. You know, there are a couple of really going at us about it with it, especially the fellow. It's literally the reason. Someone said, someone even called, wondered if Clint, you played in the NFL. It's as if, the answer is similar to why NFL players prefer to play on grass versus turf, which I would assume Clint would agree with. Talking about turf, the turf is the reason why Yordan is they're DHing him with the knee surgery. Nobody is more protective.
Nobody in all of baseball
is more protective.
I've never heard
about his knees than me. Nobody is. I just wanted to throw this out to you in a shocking turn of events. Tropicana Field in Tampa is not the only ballpark that has turf, Clint. Four others. Chase Field in Arizona. I don't think the Astros have played there. But they have played in Globe Life Field. Like, they just played there. Yordan played in the outfield. You remember.
You remember that ball he booted up in the outfield in Globe Life Field? That ball that was hit to him that led to a run? You remember that? We sat right here and they hit that ball and he tried to run up and field it and it went between his legs and went all the way to the wall? That happened in a turf field in a Globe Life Field. They also have it in Rogers Center in Toronto where he also played in the outfield. So I don't know if it's the turf thing because he's played there and they've played him in turf before. It's to go back to the point we're making. There is some weird tinkering that happens that is just.
I'm trying to do the best I can.
Yeah, I don't see having played football on turf, like literally some of the worst turf. I don't see the comparison. Like I don't see the similarities. I mean, last time I checked, Yordan Alvarez isn't out there changing directions like Emmitt Smith was or the way that Michael Irvin was or getting tackled and
not like,
twisting his knees
it's
up.
It's not getting, Veterans
hit, getting
Stadium.
Hit and twisted and all that. Yeah. I'm not saying the guy's wrong or the texter's wrong. I don't know if it's a guy or a gal. Like, I've never heard anybody in baseball say, yeah, we got to get rid of this turf for health reasons.
But clearly they will play him on turf. They've
get your foot placement right.
Well, yeah, that too. I don't even think that of turf being an issue in baseball, like
why they're making the maneuver of having Yiner start his first game at first base.
Yeah,
to get DeZinzo for two straight games is.
I didn't know turf was ever a problem in baseball. Like I fully understand why it's a problem in football. Your cleats get stuck in the turf, everything is harder on you. Just the pounding is completely different. But it's all because the natural grass gives a lot more than turf does.
The ball moves a lot quicker on the turf.
That's very true.
And it bounces differently for the defenders.
I guess
defenders
that could be detrimental for your health if you're not. I don't know, man.
Texture rolls through run. I think you enjoy proving a texture wrong way too much. I'm sorry.
No, he really does. You really do. I like that about you, though.
But I'm just saying, if you read these texts about how stupid we are trying not to figure out the reason, what don't you get? What don't you understand? It's literally the reason.
Hold on, so.
Yeah, but that last text is not wrong.
Of course. Like
Ron will derail a segment
I'm giving you the reason. Like, it's not like this one I would have just personally just text back to that gentleman if he said, do you think it may be because of the turf with his surgically repaired knees? No.
Unless somebody's going out there and tackle him.
No, that's not how little buddy came. Or the others. It's literally the reason.
Is that
and
my
then
boy
Ron? I think Clint would understand the football thing.
I understand the football thing. Wholeheartedly understand the football thing. But which, by the way, is still a problem with the most advanced technology involved in the turf. It's still a thing. But we're talking about a sport where you're changing direction violently, getting grabbed and ripped and turned and spun and all kind of stuff violently.
I'd say there is a pretty big difference in fielding a baseball on the turf compared to
the health problem part of it, not
right,
just
okay,
but even the health
you.
Or the fielding
you.
Part, they're not unafraid of
right.
them out there. By the way, Yordan may have some other problems on his hands. He didn't broke the damn scoreboard. And you know they're cheap as hell in Tampa. You call me cheap, you think I'm cheap?
He did that
in batting practice.
That raised scoreboard is going to stay broke for a bit.
That Tropicana Field lights are
all
out.
All the lights are out.
He didn't bust it up the damn scoreboard.
God,
damn, that must have been a bomb.
That's
hit.
Badass.
Damn. Like, they might try to get some money out of him for that. Like, hey, man, that was awesome. But you think we can go half on this?
Yeah.
I saw the contract you just signed, man. You think we can go half on this thing? Can we try that, please? Can we try that? All right, Clint, Titus Howard. He was back at practice, and that is big because, right, is this the first time? This is the first time I think we've seen the starting offensive line together since training camp has started. With Laremy Tunsil, Kenyon Green, Juice Scruggs, Shaq Mason, and Tytus Howard all together, and Joe Mixon was there as well. They're in pads today. That's the first time we've been able to see that, and that is important. Why?
Well, because exactly what Andre Ware said to end the their postgame thoughts Saturday night or Friday night after the last preseason game was, it's not just going to miraculously happen when these guys decide to put the pads on and show up to camp. It's going to take multiple weeks. And Andre didn't say that. He just said it's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take time. It's going to take multiple weeks to get these five guys dancing to the same tune, if that makes sense. Like they have got to get together and be on one string with every single pass protection and every single run scheme they've got. They've got to work together over an extended period of time for that to happen. It's not going to happen overnight. It's damn sure not going to happen overnight when you've got a rookie at center for all intents and purposes, a rookie at left guard. Just not going to happen. So it's big to get Tytus Howard back out there. We weren't real sure after Tytus, was got on a cart and rode to the locker room, although he walked off the field. He missed a couple of days. We weren't real sure exactly what his status was. To have him back out there and the starting five offensive linemen back, as you mentioned, along with Joe Mixon, that's big, man. Well, it's big to get the work, but it's also big for all of us fans because it seems like we're going to get a really good look at the entire starting offense this week. It looks like everybody, yes, knock on wood, unless somebody something happens between now and game time, Saturday at noon, it looks like from Tytus Howard to Brevin Jordan to Joe Mixon, it looks like everybody's back and healthy and going to get some work and hopefully get some run on Saturday.
Yeah, they need to get run together, Clint, because, I mean, we just haven't – it's, I mean, it's not like – and I said this a bit yesterday, Clint. It's not like, hey, when you get Tytus – when you get this whole group together, like, it's not like when you say you get this whole offensive line together, now we know what we're going to have. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the last thing that I know of this entire offensive line together is they more or less got their ass kicked more than they were successful. Like they were not good last year. Right, some of it was Damian Pierce not running, being able to run, potentially maybe his cutback issue. Some of that was his lack of confidence in what he was doing. But some of it also was dudes just getting their asses kicked, yeah, or people being confused on what, or handing off linemen to nobody that are just running through. And we saw a little bit of it against the Steelers, where their linebackers are just running through scot-free and right on top of the back. So I think it is imperative that they get going together, because this isn't the Eagles offensive line that you know can run the football when they're all right, or the Ravens offensive line that you know, yeah, can run the football when they're all right, or hell, the Colts offensive line. This is an offensive line that struggled with it, and this will be the first time we get to see him. I think it's hugely important with Tytus that he continues to go so he can play, and hopefully Tytus and Laremy Tunsil will play on Saturday against the Giants so they can start, as their OC would like to say, stacking days together.
I want to see Joe Mixon too.
I know you do.
Like to see Joe Mixon behind all five starting offensive line, but I got to see Joe Mixon. I'm Jonesing. I got to see Joe Mixon in that Texans uniform. Just a little tease, just a little couple drives, man. A couple carries, be good.
I would like to see it too. I think we all will. Hopefully we will get to see Joe Mixon. And I told you, I really can't wait to see Joe Mixon run, Joe Mixon and then Damian Pierce, to really see if there is a stark difference on the running lanes or how they look when they run the football. Like, we get in here, hey, Joe's averaging 4 yards a carry, and then we get back in here and we see another 4 carries for 4 yards performance from Damian Pierce, then it'll be a little bit harder to say, all right, hey, we got to keep seeing. And then that conversation of Cam Akers might be a real conversation if we start to see.
Yeah, girl.
All right, not only is 5 o'clock fire coming up, stay tuned right now. We've talked about it all day, your chance to win a pair of tickets to go see your Houston Texans front row in the bullpen. That opportunity will happen next. As soon as 5 o'clock fire happens, that will be your opportunity in that segment to be able to win those tickets. That's coming up next.
The Drive is live.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.